Well, this morning, it's all about our covenant signing. That was what this whole Sunday was centered around. And I guess I want to be the first to say right off is that this covenant that we have, this piece of paper, is not all-inclusive. This piece of paper is not the Bible. This piece of paper is not a perfect piece of paper. If you would look in your Articles of Faith and Practice that we have agreed to as a church, there's one section there that talks about our covenant. And under that section, it says this, and I'll read it just as it's written. It says, each year, each member shall covenant to observe the following spiritual directives, which seem to describe obedience to God. These are not meant to cover every area of discipline which the Bible addresses, but are meant to remind us of the basic things which will lead us to the development of other disciplines. Now, I know you haven't caught all of that, what's in that statement, but I would urge you to just, when you get a chance, when you get home, to check that out. Look at it and read it for yourself. It's just simply saying that this covenant, this piece of paper we have, it's not all-inclusive. Your marriage vows, those of you that are married, when you made your marriage vows, those vows did not cover every detail that was going to come up in your life. It covered the basics, right? It covered the whole intent of what you should do when you get married. That's sort of what this covenant does here. Another thing I'd like to do this morning is I looked up in, just went to the dictionary online, and this was not, you know, a Christian dictionary. It was just a dictionary. The word covenant says, One of the definitions was, it's an agreement, usually formal, between two or more persons to do or not to do something specified. And in the ecclesiastical area, it says that it is a solemn agreement between the members of a church to act together in harmony with the precepts of the gospel. And I like that. And this wasn't even coming out of a Christian commentary, a Christian encyclopedia, Christian dictionary. It says it's a solemn agreement between the members of a church to act together in harmony with the precepts of the gospel. So, I think that describes really well what it is we're trying to accomplish here with our covenant and doing it on a yearly basis. The covenant is here to give us direction. It's here to let you know over here what and why this brother over here is doing things the way they are. You can look and say, oh, it says that. Okay, that's why we do it. It's to help us, is to say that our covenant that we have here at our church is the right one. And if you'd go to a church that has a covenant that would read a little bit different than ours, that's probably not the right thing to do, that we need to stick with this one. No, we're not saying that. But we are saying, as this body right here, this is what we've drawn up, and we won't even go on from there. It's okay to struggle. Is it okay for me to say that? It's okay for you to struggle. And this morning, when y'all come up and share, it's okay to even admit your struggles. It's okay just to be honest. And I think that's where so many times we have failed in our relationship with each other as Christians and as brothers and sisters. We've failed to allow others to know the struggles that we face. So therefore, my brother or sister looking on at my life can look at me and say, wow, if I could just have a life like Jerry has, if I could just have a life like Marlon has, if I could just have a life like Gene has, or if I could just have a life like Lyle has, life would just be pretty honky-dory. But we all struggle. But so often, we're not quite willing to just admit that, because it's like, what would the people think of me? Truth be known, they would think quite a bit of you. They would think a lot more highly of you, because they'd say, you know what? I struggled with that. So I want to tell you all this morning, it's okay to struggle. It's okay to just to be honest. And granted, we all are going to face some struggles, greater struggles at some points in our lives than other times in our lives. That's to be expected. But there's a saying, I don't know how it all goes, but no victory. You know, there's no gain without pain, no victory without a struggle. You've heard that. Where can you go in your workplace? Where can you go at home? Where can you go wherever that if there's anything that's worth having, that there's not some struggle to go with it? A baby crawling, learning to crawl. If they would give up the first time they try, they would never learn how to crawl. They would never learn how to walk. So this baby doesn't know that it should quit. It keeps on. It keeps on. That's the way their instinct is to keep on going until they learn. And the other thing I thought of this morning with our covenant here, you know, I'm even okay with hearing you saying that you struggle with it. You struggle with some of the things or struggle with having to sign your name to it. And I'd even be okay this morning saying, you don't have to sign your name to it. Print your name out. All we want to know is that it's yours and that you acknowledge that you've looked through this. You know what I mean? So I'm okay with that. But the thing with the covenant, I think, that encourages me when I hear people talking, it's like, oh, I don't know about this. And it tells me that there's two forces at work. There's the forces of evil and the forces of good. Now, is that saying that you're evil because you're saying it? No, it's not saying that at all. What it is saying that you have flesh. Each one of you has flesh. And I'm going to tell you something. Your flesh will never be saved. But your spirit can be saved. And as you've given your heart to Christ, your spirit is now saved. But you are always going to struggle with your flesh. You are going to sin every day. That's why you need that continual cleansing. So it's okay to struggle. If there'd be no struggle, then it would mean that Satan doesn't really care what's going on here because we're not doing anything that's affecting his kingdom. If you don't face any struggles in your life as a Christian, you better start looking. Because it might be that you're really turning cold. You're really turning lukewarm. Okay. Going on down through just several points here. And one thing I want to say too before I go into this is some of the things that we want to hear from you or that, not that we want to hear, but that you could share when you come up front here. And these are just some suggestions to help your thought process. One would be your expression of your desire to be in unity with this body. One could be struggles that you have faced, struggles that you are facing, or struggles that you have faced and have overcome victoriously. One could be your desire for a deeper relationship with your Maker. Another one could be specific ways that we could pray for you. If there's something just really pressing on your mind as that you want prayer for, it's okay to, we'll be open to that this morning. Okay, and then also, I don't know how you caught it on the phone, Tree, but I felt I was kind of wordy even in that, and I tried to cut it short even as I did. But this year in our covenant, we changed it from I will do this and this and this to I believe. And so after each statement, you put a yes or no, and we hope that it'll be a yes under every statement. But then in the rating system, in the rating from 1 to 10, if you could actually put a 10 down this year, and nobody would look at that and say, whoa, 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 this person really thinks they're perfect. Because the rating system this year from 1 to 10 is actually saying how much you believe that statement. So if there's an item on 1 or 2 or 3 or whatever of the numbers here, if there's things there that you're not really convinced that you believe everything about that statement, it's okay to put less than a 10, put a 5, put a 4, put a 3, put a 8, whatever. But it's how strongly do you believe that statement? And so it's okay not to believe that statement 100%. Now there's some on there, if you would not have a 10 on it, I would have a little bit of a question of what's going on. Like, I believe in living a life of self-denial and humility. I would hope that each one of y'all would fully believe that statement. So that statement should have a 10 on it, if you're a believer. Okay. Quickly going down through some of these different points of our covenant. Number one talks about a daily devotional life or a family devotional life, which might include. So there again, it has some of these different things in there that could apply to you, that couldn't apply to you. Prayer, fasting, scripture memorization, and so on. And I hope all three of those that you would want to be involved with that, and you believe that that is important to do. And the scripture they use with that is Matthew and also Thessalonians. And Thessalonians would talk about praying without ceasing. And then in Matthew, it talks about seeking first the kingdom of God. So that's first and foremost, is that we put God first in everything that we do. And then the next one we have, which is number one, or it could be number two on your list, is faithfully attending church services and so on. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching." And that is, to me, the big thing there is to encourage one another. And that is one of the big reasons why you should want to meet together here. Is one is to bring honor and glory to God. But the other is, by your presence and by your words, by your witness, that someone here will have benefited from your presence having been here at this service this morning and at any service that you would attend. That your presence would not draw away from somebody's closeness with God, but much more it would encourage them. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. And then using our talents and gifts, which would be in Romans 12:4, and it says there, you know, we have one body and many members, and we form one body, but we have each member belongs to all the others. So as a member of this body, you're your own, but yet you belong to each one here. And it says we all have different gifts, and again, one of those is encouraging. Then on down number three, talks about giving of the tithe, and it says, "Will a man rob God?" in Malachi. And he says that you rob me because you have not given your tithes. And he says to bring the whole tithe. So to bring a part of a tithe would, and we take the tithe to mean the 10%. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, which would mean into, we would take that to mean into our gathering place. This storehouse. And then that's to be distributed out as we as God's people would look at it and say, let's put it here, let's put it here, let's put it here. But that there should be no lack in God's kingdom, in God's storehouse, as it pertains to the body here at Shiloh. And then he goes on to say that if you will do that, all these things God will keep from happening to you. From pests devouring your crops, vines in your fields will not cast their fruit if you don't do these things. And he says, I will throw open the floodgates of heaven. And I don't think any one of us has yet experienced anywhere near what God can do if we fully would believe him in what he talks about giving of our tithe. Then dropping on down, talks about number four of being a steward, number five of being faithful in the ordinances of the church, which we won't get into a lot of detail on that. But, you know, the marriage, baptism, the different ones like that, the ordinances. Number six, again, talks about marriage, our commitment to marriage, our commitment to our spouse, our commitment to our spouse for life. And number seven, in exercising spirit-directed caution in the use of all media. And I like this one because, and maybe I don't like this one, because it puts a lot more responsibility on each one of us, and that is that it's not just one thing that we point out, but it's anything that I would allow my eyes to see, anything I would allow my ears to hear, that if it is not causing us to become closer to God, if it is not causing us to have a deeper relationship with God, we probably don't want to mess with it. And in that Psalm 101 verse 3 says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. And then number eight talks about dressing modestly and so on, abstaining from worldly fashions, decorative jewelry and so on. And there again, we take that out of 1 Timothy 2 and 1 Peter 3. And then number 9, I believe in living a life of self-denial and humility. And there he talks about in Romans 12:1, it talks about, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. And he says, not to conform to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And too often we've looked at that we need to be transformed by the way we dress. And I think that is true. We need to be transformed even in the way we dress, in the fact that we need to dress in a modest way. But the thing that needs to be transformed is our mind, and consequently, because our mind is transformed, it's going to show in our actions. And number 11, living in obedience to the laws of the land as long as they're not in violation of God's law. Number 12, I believe in not destroying human life and not carrying a weapon to kill. And Romans 12:16 would talk about that, of not repaying evil for evil. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. If it be possible, as far as depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath. And same way in number 13, in accepting a job that would not be a detriment to my Christian life or my testimony. Number 14, I believe in inviting others to know Christ. And Matthew 5:13 talks about being the salt of the earth. Talks about being the light of the world. We're talking about being a city on a hill. That's us as God's children. That's us as believers. Whether you like it or not, if you're living the Christian life, you're kind of set up here on a pedestal and people are, you know, they're watching you. It's just kind of how it is. What kind of a light are you portraying? What kind of a light am I portraying? And in number 15, again, I think the new ones are correct, but the old ones has a double negative in there, so that's a mistake. You should actually cross out the first not. Or the not in that sentence. It says, I believe in not setting no vile thing before my eyes. It should say, I believe in setting no vile thing before my eyes. A double negative, as I understand English, creates a positive, and that's not where we want to go there. So cross out that not if you've got the old covenant there. Number 16, I believe in being truthful and abstain from swearing of oaths. And that one would have 1 Peter 3:10. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. And also in James it talks about to swear not at all. And there's often the question comes up, well, is it right for us in a court of law that we would raise our hand or right hand to swear? Is it or isn't it? The simple answer is, well, let's see what the Bible says. The Bible says, brothers, swear not at all. So if the judge says, do you swear? That answer very simply can just be no. I don't swear. I'll affirm. Now, is it a play on words? Maybe, maybe not. But the Bible does say, do not swear. Let's keep it simple. We can use another word for it if we want, but we're not going to swear. Okay. Number 17, I believe in working together with a congregation in a spirit of love and unity. And there it lists John 17, which is Jesus' prayer to the Father. And that's a lengthy chapter, and sometime you get a chance, read that. It's just good to see the way Jesus related to his Father in heaven. Number 18 says, I believe in accepting as well as giving counsel. Probably a lot of us could probably like it better to say, I believe in giving counsel. Sometimes that's a lot easier than accepting counsel. And there in Romans 15, verse 13, he talks about the God of hope. May he fill you with joy and peace so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it says also as you trust in him. Verse 14 says, I am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge and competent to instruct one another. And that would be my message to each one of y'all this morning. I look out among you and I'd say, I am competent that y'all have the ability to instruct each other. Y'all have the ability to portray God's love as you follow Christ. Are you perfect in it? No. Am I perfect in it? No. But you are complete in knowledge, even as it were. And that is, as you seek God, totally and completely seek God, He will give you all the knowledge you need at that point. But keep on learning. Keep on seeking. But it says, and then you're competent to instruct one another. And I like this. He says in verse 15, I have written to you quite boldly on some points, as if to remind you of them again because of the grace that God gave me. So Paul is here saying that, you know, I've been pretty frank with you sometimes. And I think that's okay. Sometimes somebody needs to just get in my face and say, Jerry, you're wrong. You know, we all need that sometimes. That just that shock treatment. But before you do that, make sure you've prayed about it. And before you do that, make sure that you have you have a relationship with that person. And I think that's often, you know, the Bible talks about speaking the truth in love. You know, so there's more to it than just speaking the truth. If we don't do it in love, you better stay away from it and let someone else handle it. But we need to speak the truth in love. And then for those that are receiving counsel, we need to be willing to accept it, to know that I'm not always right. You know, there's times that I need to hear from others. Number 20 says, I believe in seeking forgiveness for sin and to forgive those that sin against me. And in that, I would just simply make a note on that. I believe in seeking forgiveness through repentance. We all seek to have God forgive us, but the way that He's going to forgive us is through our repentance. Number 21 says, I believe in seeking a life of holiness and separation from the world as illustrated by the clothing I wear, the places that I visit, and the things that I own and the way that I work. And there it would have Ephesians 6 and talking about the whole armor of God wrapped around us. And he talks about standing firm and with the belt of truth around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place and so on and so on. And I'm not going to go ahead and read all of that, but that's the scripture that it takes out of that. Number 22 says, I believe in submitting to the authority of the church and its ordained leaders. That one, I struggle with that one because it's like, as I understand it, I am an ordained leader. And for me to stand up here and say that you, my brothers and sisters, have to submit to me, that's hard. I'm not one that wants to go there. But in Hebrews 13:17, it says, to obey, for they keep watch as men who must give account. Obey, so their work will be joy and not a burden, for that would be no advantage for you. So if you don't obey the dictates of what we agreed to as a church, as you being a member here, you are now creating burdens for leadership. Consequently, you are also creating a lack of joy for yourself. And the Bible reckons people as sheep. It reckons leaders as shepherds. And now listen closely to me here. I don't know why God wanted to use the illustration of sheep as His people. But sheep, one of the first things you probably say about a sheep is they're dumb. And that's not a very uplifting thing to think about of yourself. And I'm the shepherd. And listen to me closely. One thing you're going to need to remember, that I am the shepherd, as the Bible would relate and as the Bible would teach. But I am also a sheep. I'm also dumb. Why did God choose to use somebody like me? I don't know. But that's the way God has it set up. And so what I'm telling you this morning, brothers and sisters, is these things that we talk about, these things that we go through and we struggle with, I struggle with them. Are there things in here that I would say, I'd rather see it changed. I'd rather not deal with it. Yeah, I really would. And that's why I'm so happy to have a leadership board, as y'all have agreed to be allowed to set up here at Shiloh, where there's three other men that are on this board that serve, and where we can lay out things and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking, this is what I'm feeling, what do you think? And it is just so encouraging to hear from them. And I just want to thank you again for allowing us to have that privilege of having a group of men like that, that we can sit down with and we can dialogue. And they actually do change our thinking sometimes because we don't think of everything. And then item number 23 says, I believe in this 1963 Mennonite Confession of Faith and will adhere to the teaching it upholds. How many of you have totally read that this week? You probably haven't. Sometime when you get a chance, look through it. Now, are there items in there that maybe you don't totally agree with? If you don't, that can be okay. Put the number down that you feel you're okay with. If that's not a 10, we can be okay with that. Because some of those things in there, they're all based on Scripture, but some of them are a actual application of what Scripture would teach.